that changes you. It's, you know, just been thinking as this, as the seniors, we just had seniors speak, and seniors are are graduating, kind of like look back and go, you know, did anything that like we did here in youth ministry, did it matter? And I think it did, but God has just encouraged me to go, it's really him that changes. And God changes you through his word. You know, sometimes that's through teaching. It's through reading on your own. It's through his word, through worship songs. And we're going to get a little bit more today. I just say all that to say, God's word is important. We don't sit up here and talk about it all the time because we just think it's the right thing to do, but because we believe that it's powerful and it's active. And that's actually what we're going to talk about today. So today's verse that we're going to be meditating on is Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for your word that is truth, that speaks to our lives, that speaks to our hearts. And God, I know and I proclaim that it has to be you and it's your spirit that works through your word. So Lord, let me not say anything that's of Lee, but that's all of you, Lord. And let your spirit reign here today and move and work in our hearts, God, and set us free from anything we need to be set free from. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to do what we did last week. I'm going to give you some time to just simply meditate on your own, to kind of chew on it, to work through it. And so the first way we're going to do that is, once you, by yourself, circle the word you think is the key word in this verse, and on the back, give your reason why. So go ahead, take a minute or two to do that. Does anybody need a sheet or a pen? Right here. A sheet. We need a sheet up here. We need a sheet or a pen. There we go. We're going to need one here. I'll pass it back. Thanks. Yeah. One here. Can you pass that back, actually? Two. Here's more. All right, so there's no parents in the room this time, so you don't like have to be scared to talk, okay? You guys are like scared to talk last week. It's like, oh my gosh, my parents are here. I'm going to say something spiritual. They're going to think I'm spiritual. What do I do? Just kidding. So who would be brave and give us, this one's a little tougher on a key word. Your key word and why. What is it?
Mine is two-edged sword.
Two-edged sword. That's like a hyphenated in another word. Yeah. But we'll allow it. I'm just kidding. What and why?
Okay, my reason why is because it's more impactful to have a visual representation of something, because therefore you can like see it in your mind of how powerful it actually is.
Okay.
Saying it's more powerful.
So you're saying having that the writer of Hebrews would kind of give this visual picture of this two-edged sword that goes in and really does something, kind of get in your mind. Yeah, so being able to really see what the word is. Okay, who else? Josh, what do you got?
I said living.
Living? Okay, why is that? Okay, so it's personifying, it's giving you some characteristic, it's helping you really understand what the word is like. Okay, who else? Over here, yeah. So able, because God is able to do all things. No, that's cool. I like that. Yes?
I chose judge because it's something that's dead can't judge, so it already has the living idea in it.
Okay.
It has that idea of separating between two things.
Okay. So she said judge, and I tend to agree. I mean, this one was kind of hard to pick out a keyword, but it's good to think through it and work on it and go, why do I think this is the keyword? She said judge because it gives this idea of, well, a living thing can judge, a dead thing can't judge. And judging also has the idea of kind of separating two things out. Anybody else? Yeah, Joseph? Living out the word of God in our own lives. So it's living in us, and therefore we can live it out in that same way. Yeah, Josh?
I said and.
That's an important, I think, word. What do you call those in grammar? Conjunction. This said particle. That's science. Okay, sorry. Shh. It's an article. Who cares? Okay. Hold on. Bring it back. Listen.
that the Word of God can do.
I like it. See, this man is a deep thinker. So you're basically saying, and because, A-N-D, I can't say it right now, because it helps you understand all that God's Word can do. That's cool. I like that. I like that idea. Okay, one more. Blake. Yeah, so he said piercing, because like, God can really, and through His Word, can see into our lives. I think that's a great one. Christian, you got a different one?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because it shows that this is current. This is now. It's not
huh.
Was.
Okay.
It is.
That's cool. I like that. He's saying the word is because it's showing that it's current. It's not like in the past God's word was powerful. It's like it is right now powerful to do work in lives. I like that a lot. So sometimes just picking a key word as we meditate on Scripture helps us sort of get a picture of what's this verse talking about, how God's speaking to me. Okay, second thing I want you to do is underline any word or phrase that kind of stands out. Write one observation on the back, okay? So it might be a phrase now that you're thinking that's kind of important, and what's important about it, and I'll throw it up there on the screen too. So again, you're underlining one just kind of word or phrase that sticks out to you, and why does it stick out? All right, some different people that have already spoken. What's a word or phrase? Yeah, Jared, what's a? Okay, so it's like something like you're saying, like even like physically within your body, you sense and feel God's word and get it, yeah, and you can't get enough of it. That's cool. I like that. Come on, there's a little bit more in there. Scott, you got some? All right, it's not passive. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when you, and I'm going to talk about this a little more, but when you think about comparing, sometimes it's even in Scripture, when you want to understand it, compare it to what it's not saying. And it's not saying that it's dead. It's saying it's alive. When you think about something that's dead, it has no motion, it has no energy, it cannot do anything. But God's word is powerful to do something. Yeah. Brian? Yeah. Actually, what? Functioning. So it's living and active, and it's doing something within us. Okay, that's good. Yeah, Justine? Yeah, so you're kind of thinking about, okay, how does it even do this within me that I have to be before it for it to be able to do that? Yeah, that's a good word. Anybody else? It's good. All right. One last thing to do is put a box around a word or phrase you don't understand and write a question on the back. It's from last week. Like from last week, it was like, well, shout out the part, what, you know, from my mouth. But what does that mean? I don't get that. So is there anything from it that you're like, hey, I don't really fully understand that? Okay, I'm going to see if during the, when I draw some applications from this, see if I answer some of your questions. If I don't, come up to me afterwards because I'd love to answer them. We'll see if we get them answered. Here's what we're going to do now. We're going to do what we did last week. Going to kind of split you up into three groups. So, Nick, stand up. So from Nick to my right to this left, you're going to be group one, okay? Has everybody got that? Visual? Got the visual? Okay, Jonathan Lyle, stand up. So from Jonathan over to basically, you know, where Caleb is before Nick, you're group two, okay? And then everybody else to Jonathan's left, you're group three, okay? So to Jonathan's right, my left, sorry, you're correct. Jonathan's right, you're group three. So I got some questions for each group to answer. You're going to get together in a group of three. I want you to do a group of three, no more. I have a good reason for that. Honor me in that group of three. You're going to discuss these questions for, I'm going to give you a little bit of time to discuss them, probably like 3-4 minutes or so. And then we're going to see what you guys answer, okay? So group one, two, three. Any questions? Here we go. Okay, group one, what does the word of God mean in this verse? How is the word of God alive and active? Why does the author use the term double-edged sword? How does it penetrate and divide my soul, spirit, joints, and marrows? Group three, what does the thoughts and attitude of the heart mean? Explain how it judges these. So get into your group of three right around you. Don't move any and start discussing. All right, you got about 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Okay, all right. Bring it back. Have you had some good discussion? So, I want to hear some answers. See how you work through it. And I know, okay, first question's kind of weird. Like, what does the word of God mean? It's like, in this verse, well, it's like, that's so obvious, but I kind of want to hear some of y'all's answers. So group one, what does the word of God mean in this verse?
The word of God is the Bible.
Okay, so the Bible, there you go. That wasn't that hard to get out. What? Anything else on the word of God? The Bible? What? Jesus? Hey, you are right, and I will talk about that. You are so right. It's Jesus is, he is the word of God. He is the word. So it says word of God. Does it mean like iPad form, written form? What? Any form. Okay. Anything else? Any other thoughts you guys had on the word of God? Come on. All right. You look like you have something. No? Yeah, what's that? Okay. So you're kind of talking about the word of God and how even his words get us, like he gets who we are. That's good. Okay. So kind of going off of that, so how would you say, how is the word of God alive and active when like it's just words? And that actually kind of makes you think back to the first question. So what's some answers to that from group one? Yeah. Yeah, I think that's important to know that his words to us through the Bible, His spirit is in it. It says it was God breathed that the writers that actually wrote it, they were moved along by God. His spirit was literally breathing into them the words to say. It's not like they were just like, I got some cool things that I want to write down. You know, there's a lot of historical documents out there, but we can know that it says God's word is actually God breathed, that his life is in it. And that is what makes it so living and active and working amongst us and in us. Yeah. Yeah. See, that's why I want you to think about when you might just read something. You might read Hebrews 4:12, read it a bunch of times and said, oh, for the word of God. Oh, I get that. That's the Bible. And then we can keep going, and that's true. I mean, it's definitely the Bible, but you bring up an important point that thinking about it even more, meditating on it, is that Jesus became, he became flesh. He dwelt among us, and now he lives in us. So God's word is literally dwelling within us. When we read his word, that's why it's living and active. Yeah, Jared, I got a call on you. Otherwise, you're going to, yeah. When it's a great point you bring up in the context of this whole verse. He's talking about how the Israelites, they couldn't find rest when they were going into the promised land because they wouldn't trust God. And in the same way, we're saying for us, we can find a spiritual rest in Jesus. And it's saying that you have to make every effort to obtain it. Well, it's like, is that a working thing? Why would I have to obtain rest? But it's being willing to go, Lord, I will follow you and I will obey you. And then in that, I will rest in you. I'm not, you know, in essence, working hard on my own to find it. I'm working to rest in Christ and in his word. And really, it's just belief. Taking hold of it is belief and faith. So. Yeah, and so John 1, she's saying, going back to John chapter 1, just talking about how the Word was God, the Word is with us, and how Jesus now dwells among us, that God literally, his Word is so powerful and so active that it came to dwell through Jesus on earth, and how important his words are. So I want to kind of just help you draw some applications from this first one. And it's this, a couple things. God's Word was verbally spoken to men from a living God. It was spoken by Jesus. His living words. And the men who wrote the Bible, as you said, were moved by the Holy Spirit when they wrote. This is 66 books saying the same thing over a huge period of time. Even as we think about the validity of God's word, we're like, this is the most book that has been the most researched and understood, and it says the same thing. We can trust God's word, that it is true and it is real. And we can know that Jesus lived out God's word. He is the exact representation of the word. So we can go, as it talks about Jesus' life, we can trust that this guy was legit. You know, think about this. God's word is no ordinary word. You know, we think about some famous people that said some famous things. You know, Shakespeare wrote some crazy plays. Okay, they're so popular. You know, we think about Gandhi. He had these great words of wisdom. We think about Mother Teresa. We think about Billy Graham. We think about guys that are so smart in things they say, and they come up with Bill Gates. We think about sometimes some great things, sometimes some silly things that our president says, right? We think about all of these words, and God's word is so much greater than any of these words, because his word is living and active, more than anything you could ever read, more than any magazine you could read, more than any other Christian book. I'm all about Christian books. I love devotionals. God's word, greater and more powerful than any of those. So it's I know for me, when God's word, when I realized how living and active it was when I was an intern at a church down in Alabama when I was in college, and I got my first study Bible, and I just started, something in me, you know, Jared, you're talking about, is in your body, is wants God's word, and there's something in me that started craving God's word. So I got this study Bible. At that point in time, it was like $40, and I was like, I am spending a lot of money on a Bible. But it was nice. I still got it. And I started understanding God's word to a deeper level than I ever had. And that was when my spiritual life started changing, truly. Was when God, I started reading God's word and thinking about it, and it began changing me. And then another time I can very specifically remember from the book of Hebrews where it talks about the God's discipline, and also in the book of James. I had this long story, but in college, really jealous over something that happened with the girl that I liked. Not my wife, but before my wife. And I'm jealous over her now. But really jealous. And I remember being so mad and so angry. And then I remember God took me to chapters in Hebrews and James where it talked about God disciplines those that he loved. And that sunk into me deeper than anything I had ever heard. I'm like, God, you actually love me when you discipline me. It's not you're doing this just for me to feel bad. You love me and you discipline me through your word. That's how powerful his word is. It's not just knowledge on a page. It's not just history, but it's actually energized and moving. So I want to take you to application number one is God's word is written word and is also the Holy Spirit speaking to us through his word. It's alive and active because it awakens us to God's truth. We don't know God's truth unless we read it and we understand it. And then because it's alive and active, it literally awakens something in us. It awakens the spirit in us. It convicts us, it encourages us, and it challenges us. You know, you think about someone that's close to you, that you appreciate their opinion, you respect them. When they say something to you, when they physically, they're alive and they say something to you, it matters. Whether they give you a word of encouragement, that matters to you. Whether they challenge you with something in your life, well, then it convicts you. And it's because that word that they said, they're alive. Their word is alive. It's working in you in the same way God's word, as you read it, you hear it, you meditate on it, it's moving within you. It's changing you. It's growing you. It's convicting you. There's some other verses in the Bible that help support this. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "And we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accept it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." And then even Paul said, "My message and my preaching, they're not with wise and persuasive words." You know, he's not saying, I'm coming here to somehow trick you. I'm trying to, you know, get you to, in some worldly way, understand. He's saying, no, but I came with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. And the Spirit's power is through his word. So, for those of you that have gone to summer camp, I'll give you an example of why how I know that you know God's word is powerful. When we do our three-hour quiet time at summer camp, many of you will say that is your favorite part of summer camp. That is the best part for you. And why is that? It's because you're not reading anything on the internet. You're not reading a magazine. You're not even reading a book. But you're reading God's living word. And it's moving and it's acting in you. And some of you will look back and say, that three-hour quiet time when I read God's word was something that literally changed my life and sent me in a different direction. And that's because God's word is living, it's powerful, and it's active, and it changes you. So I'm going to give you a quick example of how God's word is living and active, and that's another awkward example, but I thought it was a good one. So, you know, as I've gotten a little older, not that I'm that old, but I got to keep my digestive system working right, okay? And so one of the ways I do that was my wife introduced me to yogurt, right? And I used to love that Yoplait stuff, but now, I mean, that stuff is so sugary, I can't have that. She introduced me to Greek yogurt. All right. It's all about them five active and live cultures in the yogurt, right? I want to know those cultures in there. Are they working? Okay? But think about it. That's why yogurt is so good for you. Because it actually has something alive in it that when it goes in you, it works in you, it changes you. It does some things we're not going to talk about, but it's alive and active. and it works in you. But let me leave you with this. Let me leave you with this. Something that's actually serious. Shh. If I don't eat yogurt, it makes what is alive, it doesn't make it any less alive because I don't eat it. It's still alive in there. And in the same way, if you don't read God's word, if you don't take it in your life, if you don't want to study it and understand it to know who you are, it doesn't make God's word any less alive. But as you take it in, it's alive and it changes you. And I can tell you, it is God's word which moves people to awesome acts of faith. And it's not because they're all about themselves, they want to be cool, but it's because God's word has changed them, okay? So the second question was this. Second group was, why does the author use the term double-edged sword, and how does it penetrate and divide my soul, spirit, joints, and marrow? I know that's a hard one, for sure. So group two, hit me up. We got to move quick here because I'm losing some time. Amen. That's a good word, and I'm going to kind of go into that a little bit. This idea of soul and spirit, I studied it some to understand it. I can't say I know exactly and I've got it fully down, but I know the soul is kind of talking about that is sort of what we think about and what kind of constitutes sort of our present being and welfare. It's like here us here on earth, sort of how we think, some of our morality is in that. It's sort of the decisions that we're making here on earth. And then when it talks about spirit, sort of talking about, this is not my words, I studied this, someone else said this. It's the superior power by which we're directed to pursue truth and right above all things. So in our soul, a lot of times our own soul wants to be about us and how do I make Lee comfortable and, you know, and how do I make right decisions? But the spirit in us is that strength to pursue truth and right above all things. Sometimes even to go against what we feel in our present state on earth. And maybe, you know, it's what's looking for the best for the Lord and what is looking kind of to this eternal home. And so it's saying God's word can divide that, can show you where, you know, you're here on earth and you're sort of all about you. And then there's God's spirit, which is over here that could be living in you. And it's sort of helping you separate that and see how do I live? Where's God's spirit in me? Which way do I live in it? And it's God's word that does that. And it's saying that it penetrates and it divides and God's word in this crazy way that sometimes we put ourselves before it. Sometimes we don't want to put ourselves before it because we know that his word can do some crazy things in us. And sometimes we don't always want to deal with that. But God's word is living and active when we read it, when we hear it, when we sing it. It's penetrating our minds. It's penetrating our soul, our spirit. It's like, not to be too philosophical here, but it's penetrating to who we are. Like literally down to the core of who we are, and it goes on to say our thoughts and intentions. But ultimately, when a sword goes in, it leaves an effect. It can't not leave an effect. You know, whether that might heal or it brings about death, and I think some of what this sword is talking about, this double-edged sword, is it brings death to our old self. His word brings death to our old self. Through the word of God, through Christ's word, it brings death to the old Lee and brings life to the new man in Christ. God's word cuts to the deepest parts of our personality to challenge, exhort, call out, shape, mold, and transform us. And it's not to be better people. Let me read God's word to be a better person. No, it's like reading God's word is like getting the blueprint to your life and going, this is really how I was designed to live. Not the way the world tells me, not even the way I think a lot of times, as you're talking about, you know, taking every thought captive. So my question is, why, if you have God's word, which is the blueprint to life, why live in a false reality? Why live with false intentions? God's word is penetrating. Yeah, it's going to open us up and it's going to show us who we really are. But ultimately, it's going to go, I want to heal you. I want to grow you. I want you to be who I made you to be. I think God, you know, just not this long ago, Wendy, I got this new vehicle and I was all excited about it. And so I was like pulling out the owner's manual and just like reading about all these things, you know, that were so cool. The one thing I loved about it was the back seats can like flip over and then you can like sit and like watch a drive-in movie. I thought that was so cool, right? And you can call me a dork. That's cool. But see, your car has that. That's cool. Now we have something in common. So, but when we read the Bible, God's laying open our lives. He's showing us who we really are. He's dividing our soul and our spirit, joint and marrow. And this idea of marrow, as you think about it, it's kind of crazy that the marrow is within the bone, and the bone is like this structure of who we are. But it's crazy that, now I'm not a scientist, and I know I've said some dumb things from stage about science that I know I was talking about, but there's life in the marrow. That is where literally, like, blood cells are made. Yeah. Yes. And so it's saying that God's saying, thank you. I got it right. Thank you. Thank you. My biology degree did something. No, I do not have a degree in biology. Guys, God's word. Get back to it. Stop leading me astray. Okay, so. But it's kind of crazy cool to think about. God's like, look, I can show you where life is. I can cut to that. I can get there. My word alone will show you where life is. And it's found in me. It's not found in any of the things of this world. And so I think about this and the idea of even this double-edged sword, that it cuts in on both sides wherever it goes. But it makes me think about a surgeon's scalpel, that really sharp scalpel that cuts. And it makes me think about when our son Joshua, when he was 4 months old, he had heart surgery. And so that surgeon cut him open, and he had this issue in his heart where this valve that was supposed to be closed wasn't fully closed. And so they were scared that a blood clot was going to come out and he could have an aneurysm and he could die. And so they went in there, and this little baby, 4 months old, and they just cut those two little pieces out, and they took it out. And it makes me think about, that's what God's word is to us. And God, it's like he's going and he's saying, I want to remove some of the things that you might not even know are wrong and that sin in you. And he's like, and then I want to heal you through my word. I want to heal you in that. So the double-edged sword will cut and penetrate as it goes into your life. It will expose who you really are, but God's word will cut into you, and it won't stay at surface level, but it'll go, I want to tell you who you really are and who you really should be and how I designed you to be. And so the last question was this. What does the thoughts and attitudes of heart mean? Explain how the word of God judges these. I'm going to help you draw a few applications out from there. God's word reveals to us why we do what we do. That's one thing that I love about God's word. And I love these verses from application 3, is God's word brings out the real thoughts, feelings, and intentions to us and shows us who we really are. God's word reveals how I really want to live and who I really want to be. And this verse, Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings out evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And God's word is revealing that to us. He's saying right there in plain and simply saying, what's in you, what you take in is who you are. He's revealing how that our hearts can be evil so that we know that we need him. And then Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I love that in a lot of ways the Bible is even a psychology book, that it explains our minds. It explains our heart. It goes to the core of who we are. But here's the thing. We can easily, I do this all the time. I so easily deceive myself. We can deceive others, right? We can make ourselves look what we want others to think we're like. But we cannot deceive God on our real thoughts and intentions. His word will cut. It will judge. This idea of judging and saying, I will tell you what your real thoughts and intentions are really like. You know, we think a lot of times, like, I'm doing this for good. But when we realize, man, I really was doing this because I wanted people to think I was good. And God goes, I will judge that. You cannot escape that. We can go on living, being deceived, or we can allow the living and active word of God to righteously judge our attitudes and our thoughts, and then live according to his ways. Like that idea where I told you about the jealousy that I had. Well, God came and he judged my thoughts and intentions, and I thought I was so right for being jealous. And then God said, what are you talking about? I know how you really want to live. You don't want to live jealous. And God can set us free from these thoughts and intentions and attitudes that we have. So God's word reveals our thoughts, our actions, and even of others, and helps us to decipher his truth. So I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with a conclusion. God's word will change you. Go over to the conclusion here on this slide. God's word will change you if you allow it to. But even if you don't allow it to change you, it's still the truth. It's still his word. It's still living and active. And as Justine even said, we have to bring ourselves before his word so that it can work in us. And it's not there just to judge us and tell us all the wrong we're doing. He's going, I want to reveal to you who you really are. And so it's as we combine meditation with the real, true word of God that we are changed, we are molded, we are shaped. And all of this happening is by meditating on it, hearing it. And ultimately, it's saying God's word is personal to me. It's not just a book of knowledge, but it speaks to the depths of my heart, my soul, and my spirit. And so I pray that you will take this verse on, that God has convicted you today in a good way to say, you need my word. You need my truth. Make it a part of your life, part of this basic training. You meditate on it day and night. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you for your truth. Thank you for how you use it to change us, that it's living and active. And God, I just simply pray by your Spirit that we'll put ourselves before you, to hear from you, to be changed by you, to be comforted and challenged. And God, we're thankful that you don't leave us alone. In Jesus' name, amen.